عليه الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and رمضان كريم. So we're gonna today look at Juz 13, which takes us from Surah Yusuf right up to the end of Surah Ibrahim. So I'm gonna look at what we generally look at first, which is 114 surah in 30 ajza. Each of the ajza is in a shelf, and as I mentioned before, that the Quran was revealed in ayat, 6,236 ayat. It was put together, compiled by the Prophet with divinity telling him what to do, and that's 114 surah. So the 30 ajza is only there so it makes it easier for us to be able to recite it in a month. And the reason why we've picked it in this month is that hopefully by the end of Ramadan you will have highlighted or journaled at least a little bit of your Quran. Journaling is being able to personalize the Quran, so you kind of connect with it. When you look at it, then it makes sense. Here is Hawra, and this is how Hawra is journaling her Quran. You can see that she's watching the video or live YouTube, whatever it is, and she's got her stuff with her and she's done a phenomenal job. Before we start journaling, or even before we start reciting the Quran, I go over this every week, every day, but I think it's important. Wudu, recite in Arabic, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, to be able to say La ilaha illallah, and to recite the dua of the Prophet, which is Walzam kalbi hifza kitabika kama allamtani, make me commit my heart to your book as you have taught me. So we're going to look at Juz 13, and Juz 13 has three surahs in it: Yusuf, Ra'ad, and Ibrahim. And then we've got the three knickknacks on there, and every bookshelf had knickknacks. So you can see 1328, 1286, 4, and I'm actually so excited to come to these ayat. Well, we're going to start off by looking back at Surah Yusuf. You saw that yesterday. I'll just show it to you again. And I'd cut it out and stuck it in here, which you can do. And I told you yesterday that I'd put their trust in God. To me, it's all about trusting in divinity with this surah. So I'm going to start off with 1253. Now, this is where the surah starts. Okay, so this is the first ayah of that surah. And it's talking about nafsul ammara. So look at this. It says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, I don't declare myself free of myself. So sometimes I don't have control over myself. My nafs tends to take over. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةَ بِالسُّوءِ, there is a state of the nafs called nafsul ammara, and it takes over and it commands me to do evil. But illa ma rahima rabbi, it is only the rahmah of my Rabb that prevents this. Inna rabbi ghafurur rahim, my Rabb is ghafurur rahim. So by extension, it's trying to tell me that it's kindness, it's manifesting kindness, manifesting goodness, or extreme merciful conditions, compassion, that will assist me to combat nafsul ammara. So that's our first ayah, ayah 57 that we've got here. The next ayah is 58. Now, before I go on to there, I'm going to now talk about this surah a little bit more, and you can go over it with me. Okay. So we find out here, yesterday we stopped where the king has now absolved him. He summoned all the women and they admitted that he was innocent. So now he tells the king, he says, appoint me to oversee the granaries. He says, I want to be there. You can see that. This is here. Kala. This is ayah 55. So that's what he tells the king. In other words, he's saying, let me be the chancellor of the exchequer. Now, we remember the dream that I talked about yesterday. So for the next 7 years, Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf, issues a mandate. All surplus from the farmers would be bought by the treasury at a fair price. It would be dried and it would be stored in large granaries. And so when the famine started after 7 years, there was a fair and efficient system of acquiring grain. That's what he did. Prophet Yaqub in Palestine. Now there's a drought there as well. So he tells his son that I've got news that there's a good man who is in charge of the granaries in Egypt and he's selling grain. So I'd like you to go there. So the brothers go there. Binyamin is left behind. And they go there. And this is where this ayah comes in. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَتَهُ يُوسُفَ And Yusuf's brother came and they go to him. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَعَرَفَهُمْ Immediately he recognized them. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ But they did not recognize him. They didn't perceive it. Now if you look at my Quran, I've highlighted that here. I've put Ikhwatu Yusuf and I've put Ya'rifunahum. I've put Imam Mahdi because we are told that it is like the brothers of Yusuf. They didn't recognize Prophet Yusuf. We don't recognize Imam Mahdi even when he's amongst us. That's why I've written that down there. Okay. So the next ayah, if we look here first and see what happened. So Prophet Yusuf is supposed to give them, or rather they were supposed to give them enough grain for the number of people there in the family. So he asked them, how many in your family? And they said, we're 11 brothers and a father. So he said, but I only see 10 of you. Where's the 11th? So he said, he's left with my father. So he said, well, if you don't bring him next time, and that you look, you can see that in Ayah 59, if you don't bring him next time, I will not supply you with the grain. I won't give you full measure. So you have to bring him. He wanted to see his brother. So they said, we will try and make our father bring him to us. Prophet Yusuf did, and you can see it in Ayah 62, he tells his servants, put their money back in their bags. And that's what happens. So when they returned, they said, you know what? We didn't get the full measure because he wants Binyamin to come. Dad says, I can't trust you. So when they opened their goods, they found their money was returned as well. And the father says, I cannot trust you. That's just can't do that until you promise in Allah's name that you will look after him. And they go back again. This time they take Binyamin. And he said, don't enter by one gate. Don't enter all together. Enter separately. And they do that. So you can do that. You can turn and highlight your Qurans. It's a beautiful story. So now when they come to Yusuf, he takes Binyamin to his side and he tells Binyamin, he said, Kala inni ana akhuka, I am your brother. Fala tabta'is bima kanu ya'malun, and don't grieve for whatever happens. And he tells his brother that I will have to do something. I can only keep you here if I accuse you of something awful. Binyamin said, do as you want. So what he did was he took the king's goblet, and I've drawn it there, and he put it inside Binyamin's bag. So Binyamin has agreed to this plan, okay? Now as they move off, they say, well, the king's cup is missing. And they said, well, we haven't taken it. They searched the sacks and they found it in Binyamin's sack. Now look at what they said. They turn against their brother immediately. They said, if he steals, there was a brother of his who stole before as well. That means they said Yusuf stole as well. They just turned against him. Why? Because when Yusuf was a child, his aunt wanted to take him away from his father. So what she did was, she said to Yusuf, can you bring that belt off your father? I need to borrow it. And he brought it. And when his father said, no, I can't find the belt, I don't know where it is, she said, he stole it. And it's really cutting the story short, because she wanted to keep it. And she said, in our law, we keep thieves when they steal something. And I will keep him. So she wanted to keep him. So that's what they remembered. And that's what they said over here. So what happens? He says, I can't let Binyamin go. They said, we can't do that. Our father is old. Look, said he has a father. He's a very old man. Retain one of us. He said, no, that would be unfair. I can only keep the one who stole. The eldest of the brothers, called Reuben, he stayed behind. I've highlighted eldest here. He stayed behind because he couldn't face their father. And he told them, go back to your father and tell them that your son has stolen. Now you can imagine what he must have felt like. And when they got back home, Yusuf, Prophet Yaqub tells them, what you've done, you think you've done a small thing? It's your soul is making it light on you. And then he turns away from his sons and he says, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ He turns away. وَقَالَ يَا أَصَفَى عَلَى يُوسُفْ Asafa is when frustration, I'll call it frustration, I'll even call it grief, when it comes to a place where you can't handle it anymore. And you can't change it either. And he says, وَأَبْيَضْ عَيْنَاهُ, his eyes became white, مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, from the grief, فَهُوَ قَذِيمٌ. And قَذِيم, we say مَا مُوسَى الْقَاذِمُ, قَذِيم is this nasal passage. It is when you say, I've had it up to here. Like anger, grief, sorrow, huzn, up to here. But they don't do anything to help him. Look what they do. If you look at ayah 85. قَالْ دَاللَّهِ, they're even more angry. They say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? تَفْتَغُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ, all you do is remember Yusuf. حَتَّى تَكُونَ هَرَذًا, until you will become ill. أَمْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْحَالِكِينَ, or you will perish. You will become halak. So instead of helping him, instead of understanding him, they just get so angry at him. And then he recites this dua that is absolutely phenomenal. Please highlight it in yellow and I'll explain it. He says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ, I only complain of bathi. Bathi is grief of the past that eats you away. Huzn is fresh grief. So he's saying that past grief and fresh grief, I only complain illallah. And then he says, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and I know from Allah what you do not know. So what does he know? So around the same time, there's a villager who goes to Egypt for grain. And Yusuf asks him where he's from, and he says he's from the same village. He gets really happy, and he says, when you get there, call out, Ya Yaqub, and this man will come out, tells his handsome man, or his father, will come out to you and tell him that you met a man in Egypt who conveys his salams and says that the trust that you've given to Allah has not been forsaken. The villager does that. Yaqub, on hearing it, faints in the first instance. When he comes to, he tells the villager, is there anything you would like? And he says, pray for me that I have a child. Prophet Yaqub does wudu, he prays, the dua is answered, and the villager has four sons. And Yaqub is assured in himself that his son is alive. So, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That's what it's trying to say. So you can see how I've highlighted it over there. So now, let's fast forward and see what happens. So now they've run out of rations again, and they go back. So they go back to him, and I'm just going to put it down here. So they go back to him, and Prophet Yaqub has given them a letter to give to the Aziz of Egypt. And the letter says, to the Aziz of Egypt, from Yaqub, son of Ishaq, son of Ibrahim, the friend of Allah, and to the man who gives full measure and is just, peace be with you, I praise Allah, other than whom there is no other God. We are a family whom God has tested through thick and thin. My grandfather Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. Allah made it cool and peaceful for him. He says, my grandfather was also commanded to slaughter my uncle, and Allah replaced it with a ram. For the last 20 years, tribulations have rained down upon me. He tells him that first Yusuf, the joy and light of my eyes, his brother tells me a wolf ate him. Grief and loss for him has been immense. My weeping for him took away my sight. He had a brother called Binyamin. Whenever I missed Yusuf, I would hug Binyamin. But they tell me that you said he stole the king's goblet. You have taken him prisoner. I bear witness, I am not a thief, and neither is my son. You have taken him, the grief is immense. Please free him. Provide us with good wheat and charge us a fair price. Give us our ration and release the family of Ibrahim. When Prophet Yusuf sees the letter, he kisses it and he weeps and he writes back and he says, have sabr and you shall prevail. And then he tells his brother who they are. So you can see in ayah 90, they said, are you indeed Yusuf? Can you see that? Kalu, a innaka la anta Yusuf. And he says, yes. Well, he tells them, and this is an ayah where he says, Qala tallahi, if you look at this, 92, Qala la tathriba alaykum al yawm. Today there is nothing against you, no revenge against you. Yaghfirullahu lakum, Allah may forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And the Prophet said this to the Meccans in Fateh Makkah when he entered. He told everybody here, I will not take revenge on you. These are the same people who wanted to kill him. And I will tell you exactly what Yusuf told his brothers. So you could write that down over there too. Okay, so you remember it. So he tells them, take them the shirt, so you can draw the shirt there. Take the shirt and put it on my father's face, and he'll be able to see. That is Isaiah 93. And they do that. Again, the shirt, 96, and there's a lot about the shirt that comes in. So they take the shirt, they put it over his eyes, and he can see it. They say, O our Father, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا, ask forgiveness. ذُنُوبَنَا, for our sins, إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاتِينَ, we definitely made mistakes. Now look what Prophet Yaqub says. He says, قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي, I will. Sofa is in the future. I will ask forgiveness for you. Innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. And in a hadith we're told that he waited for Friday. It's a phenomenal day. So I've put waited for Friday over there. It's really, really something that should come into our minds. And Prophet Yusuf asks them to bring the whole family, including the parents. And they do that. They bring him to him. And now look what happens. So we go to Ayah 100. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and he raises his parents on the throne. وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا, and they fall down in prostration before him. Everybody. And it's basically prostration to Allah in thanks for having seen Yusuf. وَقَالَ, he says, يَا عَبَتِي, oh my father, هَذَا تَعْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ, this is the significance of my dream in قَبْلُ of before. كَجَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَكًّا, and my Rabb has made this true. But I'd like you to remember the last bit. Inna Rabbi Latiful Lima Yasha. Allah is Latif. Lutf is beautiful. Lutf is where we don't see the silver lining in the grey clouds. Inna Huhu Al Alimul Hakim. He is Alim and He is Hakim. So you can see that. Inna Rabbi Latiful Lima Yasha. Inna Huhu Al Alimul Hakim. When you don't understand why something is going just haywire, keep on reciting Ya Latif. You could probably put it here. Ya Latif, so you don't forget. And if you think of Yusuf, you think of a child being thrown into a well, kidnapped, sold as a slave, then accused wrongly, imprisoned for such a long time. Can you imagine? Separated from his family, yet everything comes together at the end. And that's what Allah's name of Ya Latif, or his attribute of Ya Latif, does. So next thing we're going to look at is the moral of the story, which is the last ayah of Surah Yusuf. لَكَدْ كَانَ فِي قَسَسِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In this, there is an ibra, there is a lesson. For who? For أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Men or human beings who understand. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا. It's not just a story, يُفْتَرَى, that is made up. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ, but it is the truth. الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, which happened before him. وَتَفْصِيلًا, we give you the explanation, كُلِّ شَيْنَ, of everything. وَحُدًا, it is a guidance, or rahma, and it is a mercy for those who believe. It's an amazing, amazing story. So now we go to Surah Ra'ad, and again, I've cut that out and stuck it in. And really, the surah is about changing oneself. This is what it's all about. It's about change. Okay, the surah is all about change, and that's Ra'ad. So first, the ayah we're going to look at is ayah 11. So if you can, let me go back to it so you can see it. And what does Allah say about change here? He says, "Lahu mu'aqibatum min bayni yaday." So the angels, wa min khalfihi yahfadhunahu min amrillah. Angels are assigned to look after each human being until his death. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change themselves. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِ سُوءٍ, and if a people intend, and when Allah intends who for a people, فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَالٍ. There is no aversion behind it. So what this is trying to say is that nothing will change until we change ourselves. There has to be a paradigm shift in our heads, in our minds, that will make this change. So you can put change there. You could maybe highlight. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Okay. So that sentence is really, really important. The next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 12. You've seen it up here, that I've put it here. And this is where, if you look at it, this is where thunder comes from. Sorry, we're first looking at ayah 12. And ayah 12 is where the lightning comes from. Now maybe you could get a yellow pencil here. Sorry, I'm just gonna get it. وَالَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقِ. So maybe you can do that in yellow, because lightning is light, right? So there you go. وَالَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقِ. He shows you lighting, which causes خوف وطمع. Lightning is fear, and the hope is for rain. And then he says, وَيُنْشِئُ الصَّحَابَ الثِّقَالِ. And then you have heavy clouds. They bring rain. Now when these clash, then you go to the next ayah, where يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ. So when those heavy clouds clash, they bring thunder. And the thunder declares his perfection. When we hear thunder, oh my goodness, it's declaring the perfection of Allah. وَمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. And the angels declare his perfection as well. وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَائِكَ. And then he sends down these thunderbolts. فَيُسِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And they target their target. They've got targets, whatever the target is. وَهُمْ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. And they still dispute concerning Allah. وَهُوَ الشَّدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ. And he is mighty in what he does. Thunder and lightning have an effect on us. So you can see, I have highlighted the Ra'ad here as thunder, and you can put down here when clouds clash, just in case you forget. You have thunder like that. Okay? Because sometimes we tend to forget a little bit. The next ayah we're gonna look at is ayah 17. Okay, so let's have a look at ayah 17. Now I'd like you to think about this ayah. Okay, so let's try and visualize it. So we're looking at mountains and we're looking at valleys. So let's see if we can do it. Anzala minas samai. He sends down water from the skies. Samai ma'an, sorry. Fasalat awdiyatan bikadaraha. So valleys fill to their measure. Fahtalama saylu zabadan rabi'a. So these valleys have filled. Now these flood water, sail, carries the foam which rises. So can you imagine two mountains and a valley? And in the valley it's filled with water, and then there's foam on top. You know, you get this, what you call scum on top. Now look what he says. وَمِمَّا يُوْكِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ ابْتِغَاءَ حِلْيَةٍ أَوْ مَتَاءٍ زَبَدٌ مِثْلُهُ. So if they burn metal in fire, so from this water, whatever they get, they might be able to get some jewelry or some good stuff. The foam rises to the top and that's really discarded. So Allah is giving the example of truth and falsehood. Let me explain. I know it's quite difficult. All I need you to imagine is this mountain, this valley. It's got this water filling up. At the top it's got scum or foam, and at the bottom it's got treasures. And this treasure is brought out, you know, the treasure is brought out and made into ornaments or in jewelry. Now, it's giving the example of truth and falsehood. The water is revelation. So the revelation is in the valley filled up. Some parts are shallow, some parts are deep. So it fills every heart. Every street of Makkah, every heart is filled up to an extent, it's there. Okay, some elements in the earth are useless and they have to be cleaned out like foam. So the believer accepts the water and grows. The foam is the munafiqun who just have to be thrown out. Or they have to be burnt out so the impurities rise up. Water and revelation are a process of cleansing. This, we need to understand this really well. So imagine revelation now coming to our hearts, okay? Imagine revelation settling, depending how deep the valley is, how deep my heart is. Now imagine the yuck in my heart, that which is not good, either floats up as scum or is part of the impurities in between my heart. I have to throw the scum away. I have to sometimes burn the impurities to see the goodness that comes out. This parable is quite difficult, but you've got to imagine it to understand it. So what I suggest you do is, if in your Qurans, and I didn't do this so you could see it yourself, is if you draw two mountains, and you've got a valley, and then in your valley, you've got this water that's filled up, and then on top of the water, you've got scum, and at the bottom, you've got treasures. Now, this scum moves away. So that's your munafikism. Here sometimes there's munafikism as well, and it has to be burnt out to be get the good stuff out. Okay, and you can give this example as the heart as well. Maybe you could draw a heart. I'll get my red pen and give the example of drawing a heart as well. So you could draw a heart. You could have revelation coming in, and revelation fills as much as possible, but then there's stuff at the top and at the bottom that needs to be sorted out. Okay, it's a difficult one, but maybe you'll be able to get it as you go along. So the next ayah we're going to look at is 23. And I love this ayah. Absolutely love it. It's not as difficult as the other one. And let's see what Allah says here. He says, Jannatu adnin yadkhulunaha, the gardens of perpetual abode, which you will enter. Waman salaha min abaihim, along with those who do good from their fathers, wa azwajihim, from their spouses, wa dhurriyatihim, and from their children. Wal malaikatu yadkhuluna alayhim, and the angels will enter upon him in kulli bab. So here it's saying that you can have an upgrade for your family. So the ayah is saying that if you're in a higher part of Jannah and your family is in a lower part of Jannah, then you can take an upgrade. They can get an upgrade. You see that? It's really cool. Look at that. Upgrade for family. And you could highlight as abaihim, how high soever, azwajihim, or dhurriyatihim. So your children, your parents. Now azwaj can also mean your friends, your mates, your those who are with you. So let's hope Allah places us with them as well. Next one we're going to look at 28. This is just phenomenal. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and whose hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah. Now this remembrance, itminan, is a continual, permanent contentment. And he says, Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ. It is only with the remembrance of Allah that hearts have a permanent contentment in them. And if you look at my Quran, I put a heart. That's my inner kulub in red. And this particular ayah is a cure for broken hearts. So you love somebody very much and they've got a broken heart, recite it on water and give it to them. Recite it yourself and drink it. It has an amazing effect. So the next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 39. So you need to turn your page and look at ayah 39 and look what Allah says. So he starts off, and you can look at your Qurans because I think we've got half the ayah here, but basically he says, no, we've got the whole ayah, sorry. Yamhullah ma yasha, Allah erases whatever he wants. Wa yuthbitu, and he maintains what he wants. Wa indahu ummul kitab, and with him is the mother of the book. It's a really beautiful ayah. Okay, so I'll start again. Yamhullaha ma yasha wa yuthbitu wa indahu ummul kitab. He makes to, and maybe you can rephrase it and write it in your books. Allah erases whatever he wants. He maintains what he wants. And with him is the mother of the book. You can refer it to the Quran, or you can refer it to the record of everything that we have. All together, he has the main hard drive on which everything is stored. Okay, so go back to my Quran, and you can see it over there. Okay. So now we're going to go to Surah Ibrahim. Okay, here. So Surah Ibrahim, in essence, is about submission. It's gratitude versus ingratitude, submission and the du'as of Prophet Ibrahim, and warnings of the consequence of injustice. So we're going to start off with ayah 7. So let me go back to my Quran so you can see it. If you look at ayah 7 here, and it's really something else. So he says, "Wa is da'adhana rabbukum?" So when your Rabb made it known, he says, La in shakartum. Now remember, even if you're grateful once, La in shakartum, even if you're grateful once, La azidannakum, I will increase for you. Wa la in kafartum, if you are ungrateful, in adhabi la shadid, then my punishment is pretty strong. So you can put gratitude here. Just Alhamdulillah all the time. We'll do that. And the next ones we're going to look at is good and bad words. Okay, so that's Ayah 24 and Ayah 25. Well, we'd actually go down to 20. We'll start with 24 and go right down to 27. So let's have a look. Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyiba. Have you not considered? Have you not considered how Allah gives you the example of a good word? Like a good tree, whose roots are firm and whose branches are in the heavens. Okay? Kalimatu tayyiba ka shajaratin tayyiba. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis sama. So basically, you could say these are normal good words as well. It is. But it is also the words of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The iman is rooted. There's constant goodness to humanity as a result of that iman. Trees take a while to grow and it takes time for human development. But furu is that what it does. And look what happens. Those whose faith, whose words, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is firm, they will ensure that there's fruit in every season. There's a constancy. يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالُ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah gives this example for human beings so that they may be mindful. You know, these fruits will have more seeds and these seeds will be planted and will go on and on and on. That's your baqiyatu salihat. And this is good words as well. They remain. They're like an echo. They come back. But then he says, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٌ قَبِيثَةٍ. And if you look at the parable of the evil word, it is like a shajaratin kabitha. It's like an evil tree. It's tuthfat min fawqil ardi. It can be pulled up from the surface of the earth. It has no stability. Words that are mean, words that hurt, words of false belief, of injustice, they're like a vile tree. They're uprooted. There is no stability in them. And then if you look at Ayah 20, I'll just go back to it. If you look at Ayah 27, which is in your book, in your Qur'ans, Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ. Allah confirms those who believe with their word, فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, in the life of the world and the akhirah. وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, and He will make those who do dhulm stray. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and Allah does what He pleases. So you can see I've put good word, I've drawn a tree, an evil word, evil words, and I've drawn a tree that's dead, and you could put that in as well. Okay. And now an ayah that is my favorite ayah, I suppose they all are, but let's look at it. It's 14:34. Absolutely adore it. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ. He gives you whatever you ask of Him. I mean, if He does, He will, in His own time, in His own way, in the best of ways. It's His word. He's promising you. He says, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ. And then he says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. But if you were to count his favors, you would not be able to compute them. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. The human being is ungrateful again and again and again and again, over and over again. Basically saying, the human being doesn't think of even one favor. So, something to count our blessings on. The next ayah, there are two ayahs and they're beautiful. And they're the du'as of Prophet Ibrahim, du'a for children and du'a for parents. So he says, رَبِّ جْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. So this one says, my Rabb, make me establish salah and my progeny and my children. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Can you see the transition between Rabbi and Rabbana? So you start off by saying, Rabbi ij'alni, make me establish salah. Wa min dhurriyati, and my children. And then Rabbana, from all of us, except wa taqabbal du'a. You can see the transition there. And then again here, Rabbana ghfirli. Our Rabb, protect us. Forgive us. Wa li walidayya, and our parents. Wa lil mu'minina, and the mu'mineen. Yawma yakumul hisab, on the day of Qiyamah. And finally, the last one. Oh, I love this one. So let's have a look at my Quran first. I've highlighted those two in yellow. But now we're going to come to the last ayah. Hadha balagun linnas. This is a communique. This is the conclusion of this surah. So he's saying, this is a communique. It's something that I have written to human beings. Balag means to reach the heart. it penetrates the heart. He says, this is a balaglinas. وَلِيُنذِرُوا بِهِ, so that they may be warned with it. وَلِيَعْلَمُوا, and that they should know. أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ, that their God is only one God. وَلِيَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and this is a reminder for those who possess understanding. It's a phenomenal ending to the surah. So inshallah, we will look at Juz 14 tomorrow. And I will see you tomorrow at the same time. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.